Good morning and happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. The weekend is upon us, and that is a fantastic, wonderful thing. It's going to be a great weekend. It'll be hot. Feel like 100 or hotter, but that's all right. Next week, that'll change. Won't be as hot because it'll be a lot more rainy. Next hour, I want to pick up the conversation about soccer in America. You know, it seems like we get all excited about the World Cup every 4 years. We get excited when the Olympics come around. But other than that, you don't hear a whole lot about soccer on a regular basis in the United States. It's the most popular sport in the world. Why is it not here in the U.S.? Next hour, we're going to have the author of a book who looked deep into why it is that soccer has had trouble catching on and the challenges that it's faced in the United States of America. We're going to have Cynthia Lee Sheng, the president of Jefferson Parish, on talking about this weekend's events to celebrate America's 250th birthday. I'm excited about this. It's some old-fashioned fun and some high-fangled new technology they're going to do. And I've never seen one of these here in the greater New Orleans area. One of those air drone shows where they have the different colored changing drones that are going to be above the Mississippi River making different displays and designs, and it's really neat. It's like, you know, programmable fireworks almost. So we'll talk to her about that and everything else going on this weekend to celebrate America's 250th birthday. In the 12 o'clock hour, Dr. Mike Strain joins us, the Ag Commissioner for Louisiana. I'm really, you know, yesterday the governor signed legislation strengthening and putting some more teeth into the labeling laws for Louisiana seafood. As seafood producers continue to struggle because foreign producers keep flooding the market with much cheaper product, much cheaper shrimp, much cheaper fish, much cheaper crawfish tail meat. And I know each and every Louisianian in their heart really wants to eat Louisiana seafood. We want to help our friends and neighbors. We want to support the local industry. And it does taste better. There's no doubt about it. It's fresher. And everything about it is better. But money talks. And right now, people are canceling vacations. People are finding every way they can to save money because of the inflationary pressures that are making it so difficult on most people whose pay has not kept up with the cost of everything we need in this world. And I just wonder if, while we try to prioritize, try to be true to Louisiana seafood, if our bank accounts dictate differently. So I'll talk to you about that, and we'll talk to Mike Strain about that coming up in the 12 o'clock hour here on WWL. Right now, I want to welcome in the Louisiana Secretary of State, Nancy Landry, as early voting starts today. Good morning, Madam Secretary.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Glad that you're here. Weird that early voting starting on a Friday. We're not used to that. Early voting has become more a way of life for voters, but rarely do we get to start it on a Friday. So I guess we should start right there. Why are we voting today?
Great question. And we're starting early this year on Friday today, running through June 20th. And the reason we're starting on a Friday is because next Friday is a state and federal holiday. It's Juneteenth. And because we won't have early voting on that day, we want to get a full 7 days in. And so we started a day early. So we will have early voting every day except Sunday and Friday, Juneteenth, between now and the 20th.
All right. So you cannot vote next Friday. So that's unusual because of the observance of the Juneteenth holiday. But you will be able to vote next Saturday. So today through next Saturday, never on Sunday. So we won't have it on Sunday and we won't have it next Friday.
Correct. That's right. And it's from 8:30 to 6. And you can find your ballot and where your early voting center is at govote.com or on the GoVote mobile app. And you can see your sample ballot. See what you'll be voting on.
We've tried to make it real easy. We even put it on the front page of our website at WWL.com. There's a link right there in the story to get to the Go Vote voter portal so you can see where to vote and what you're voting on. So what is on the ballot for folks? And again, we have this is just another confusing layer in what has been a confusing kind of reprogramming of Louisiana elections. This is, again, a party-specific election, right?
Part of it is that we have only one statewide item on the ballot, and that is the party primary runoff for U.S. Senate. And we have a runoff for both the Democratic primary and the Republican primary in that election. But we also have local things on the ballots. There might be tax props, or you might have a Board of Elementary and Secondary Education primary runoff or a Public Service Commission runoff. So we do have other things on the ballot. It's not just the one thing. And we encourage everyone to go check their sample ballot at govote.com or the GoVote mobile app, because some people may not have those primary runoffs on their ballot. And so it's going to be a little different because of that.
Okay. So everybody, unless now everybody will have it on their ballot, but if they're not registered as a Republican or a Democrat, then if they voted in the primary last month, they will vote in the same party primary they voted in then now. If they didn't vote last month and they do not have a party affiliation, then they can still pick Republican or Democrat?
Right. If they did not vote in May and they're no party voter, meaning they're not affiliated with a party, they can choose to vote in the Republican primary runoff or the Democratic primary runoff. If they made a choice already in May 16th, if they voted in the May 16th election and chose one of those, they have to stick with the choice they made in May. So that's you know, a little bit hard to understand, but we're trying to make it as easy as we can for voters, and that's why we're encouraging everyone to go check their sample ballot at govote.com.
Yeah, I think people are starting to catch on by and large. Or are you hearing from folks at the polls that when people show up, there's still a lot of confusion? I'm hoping that what we went through in May helps people now in June kind of better understand it.
We always have a learning curve whenever there are changes to voting. And as you know, the legislature made these changes in 2024. And we've been trying to do everything we can to educate voters about those changes. But as you know, there are some people who just don't pay attention to anything about elections until right before the election. And so we did radio, TV, social media. We sent a mail piece to every voter, but we still had people who were surprised when they came to the polls. So we're trying to let everybody know again, it is going to be a closed party primary runoff in some races, but you may have local things on your ballot as well.
All right. And in the Bessie race, which will be in some parishes, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education and the Public Service Commissioner's race, that's a closed primary as well. But there are no Democrats who ran. So only Republicans or no party voters who choose to get a Republican ballot can vote in that race. Right. Those races.
I think that's correct. I haven't checked to see who the names are in the races, but that's right. We do have a Bessie primary runoff and a PSC primary runoff in some areas of the state, but not all. So you may have that on your ballot or you may not, depending on where you live and what party you're choosing to vote in.
All right. And some parishes and some communities have local races as well.
Right. They have local races and they also have tax props and other ballot measures that might be on the ballot in some parishes. Some don't, some do. So that's just, you know, you might have local issues on your ballot as well.
All right. And again, you can check to see what's on your ballot by going to the GoVote app or the GoVote website. And we've linked it on our website. I also see when I go to GoVote that you've had for a while now, and it's still up there, a request for poll commissioners. Are you having trouble finding people to work the polls?
That's right, Dave. We depend on those poll commissioners to help us run our elections. They're essential workers for us. And they're, you know, the frontline workers of our elections. But we The average age of our poll commissioners is around 67, and we've had a lot of them decide to retire in the past couple of years, and we're just not seeing young people step up to take their place. So we're just putting out a call for anybody who is civic-minded, who would like to work as a poll commissioner, to please apply to do that. It is you can find our application on our website at govote.com, and you turn it into your local clerk of court.
What does it pay? I mean, because everyone's looking for a side hustle now. Everyone needs more money. You get paid to do that, right?
You do. You get paid in Louisiana. It's $200 per election. It's a long day. Now you work very long hours, but it's $200 a day for the regular commissioners and up to $350 for a commissioner in charge. We do have a bill that passed the legislature that would grant a raise to those workers, but it was not funded this year. So that will probably take effect next year. And we need poll workers this year. So we're asking people to still sign up now. And a lot of states, it's a volunteer position, but in Louisiana, we actually pay you. And it's hard work. It's long hours, but it's really fun. You get to see your whole community, and it's a great way to give back to your community.
I was going to get to say, I know I enjoy when I go to vote. The poll commissioners are always friendly. They say hi. I lived in the same voting area for 25 years, and I got to know them. I've recently moved. And when I walked in to vote the first time in my new location, they were like, hey, you're new. Where are you from? And, you know, it was very friendly and cordial, and it's kind of neat. And I got to imagine doing that work, you do get to know the folks who live around you and in your community. And they seem to always be smiling and enjoying and having a good time. So govote.com.
It's great fun. I've done it before. I worked as a poll commissioner many times, and it's great fun. The time goes by fast when you have a busy election. And so it's very rewarding work, and I encourage everybody to give back to your community and sign up to be a poll commissioner.
Yeah, and you talked about there are some struggles with younger people getting them interested in doing that, and some of the older poll commissioners are aging out of the doing the job and retiring. But are we seeing the same thing with voters? What do you expect for turnout in this election compared to what we saw in the primary last month? There seemed to be a lot more hype, a lot more political ads. The president was more involved. All of these factors seem to be drawing a lot more attention last month to the election than we're seeing to this election. Have you made a prediction on voter turnout? And can you tell us what the factors may be and what to expect?
We're anticipating about 23%, I think, which is lower than we had for the primary in May. And it's because it's, you know, a summer election. A lot of people are on vacation. And because there's, as you said, there's just not as much interest and not as much hype with the candidates. And so we're anticipating the turnout will be a little lower than it was. We don't have anything to compare it to because we've not had closed party primary runoffs in the past. And so we don't really have a model to predict what the turnout will be, but we're thinking it'll be around 20 to 23%.
So only about 1 in 5, less than 1 in 4 registered voters you expect to cast ballots. And what percentage of voting age eligible Louisianians are actually registered to vote? Do you know that?
95%. Around 85% is what it is now. We have a very high registration rate in Louisiana. We just don't have a lot of excitement sometimes for some elections, and so they don't turn out in big numbers. But we always have a really high registration rate. It usually hovers around 90%. Of course, it's a changing figure every day.
Right. So I was just wondering, because if less than 1 in 4 registered voters are expected to cast ballots in this election, it's got to be less than 1 in 5 eligible Louisianians who could vote who will cast a ballot. So these races will be decided by less than 20% of eligible voters in Louisiana. And I don't know, that's an interesting statistic that few people participate in some of our elections, isn't it?
It is, and we encourage everyone to, if you're not registered yet and you're eligible to be registered, to register. It's very easy. You can do it online, again, at thegovote.com on our website or at using our mobile app, GoVote mobile app. It's very easy, and we encourage everyone to register if you're not yet registered, and to vote if you are registered. You have to show up and vote and exercise your right to vote.
Secretary of State Nancy Landry, anything else you want to share with our listeners before we let you get back to the business of overseeing the first day of early voting here in Louisiana?
Sure. We have great elections in Louisiana. We're ranked fourth in the nation in election integrity, so you can vote with confidence here in Louisiana and know that your vote will count. So we encourage everyone to go out and vote.
Thank you. Secretary of State Nancy Landry here on WWL. We appreciate, we know your time is valuable, and we'll let you get back to it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Louisiana Secretary of State Nancy Landry. What do you think, folks, about those voter turnout predictions? Why are so few people voting? And why are they having so much trouble finding people who want to be poll commissioners? What does that say about our election process? Have we lost interest in truly being a Democratic Republican, a representative? Let's just say that, because everyone argues about what kind of government we have. We are a democratic nation, but we are by representative. But what does it say to you that less than one in four people who could vote in this election are expected to vote in this election? And they're having more and more trouble finding people who want to be poll commissioners. We'll talk about that coming up. Interestingly, we'll also talk about America's 250th birthday, this experiment that we started a quarter of a millennium ago, 250 years of America. I wonder if the forefathers expected so few people to participate in elections. 504-260-1870, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Feel free to reach out to us. Grab a line now, and we'll talk about it after this on WWL. Interesting text coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870, with a lot of people telling us why they are not participating in this election, and really why they sound like they're not participating much in elections at all anymore, with less than 20% of eligible voters in Louisiana expected to cast ballots in this election, in which early voting starts today. It's sad to me that we've gotten to a point where so many people, 80% of those people or more who could vote, don't vote in elections like this. We'll continue that conversation coming up. Particularly sad as we celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States of America. 250 years of this grand experiment that started here in the New World. And to celebrate that milestone, they're having a big old party in Jefferson Parish this weekend. Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang joins us on the live line. Good morning, Madam President.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So glad you're here. I'm excited about this. I heard you talking to Tommy about it, and I've been reading about it, and just the things that you guys have planned and programmed as part of this birthday celebration really sound like a whole lot of fun. So let's start at the beginning. When does this celebration start, and how can people get involved?
Okay, well, Flag Day is this Sunday, so it's going to be this Sunday, and it's going to be in Old Gretna. You know, many people don't realize Gretna is the seat of Jefferson Parish government. We have our, you know, whole government complex over there. Mayor Constant and Chief Lawson were willing to help us. All of our other mayors are getting involved. This is really a parish-wide celebration, but we're doing it in the streets of Gretna. And the idea, you know, we parade a lot in our region, and it's Mardi Gras-style parade, and it's, you know, purple, green, and gold. But we were thinking of an old-style, little-town, Americana kind of parade, red, white, and blue. So we're going to kick off the day at noon in an area called, we're calling it USA Field Day. This is right across from Gretna Welcome Center, right on Huey Long Avenue, right when you get off the expressway, right there. And we're going to have sack races, water balloon toss. We're going to have a volleyball court set up. We're going to do a tug-of-war. There's going to be a trivia contest. Crafts and face painting and balloon artists. You're going to be able to maybe adopt a pet there if you want to bring home a new furry member of your family. Cornhole, horseshoes. There's even going to be a dunk tank that people are trying to convince me to get into. So I think
have you made a decision yet?
I have directors telling me they want to try to dunk me. So that word got around real quick. So we'll see.
Are you bringing a change of clothes, even if you haven't decided yet?
I think I'll want to, you know, it's going to be a hot day. I think that'll be kind of refreshing, so maybe
okay.
I will commit to it.
All right.
And then, So, David, at the same time, this is kind of a big footprint we're taking up in Old Gretna. At the same time, we have a classic car show. My friend John Comble is big in the, you know, old cars. So that we're going to have a classic car show at the River Bachelor. So that'll be down at that side of the river. And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to do a walking parade. This is not a Mardi Gras style parade. It's just going to be a walking parade. A lot of our municipalities, a lot of our elected officials and employees are just going to walk and throw red, white, and blue stuff.
Oh, so you will throw stuff. Okay. There will be throws.
But it's not, you're not coming home with cabbages and that kind of stuff, right? But
all right. Well, you got to throw something. All right. So
we have to throw something. We're here, right? We know how to parade. So
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a damn Yankee, which means I grew up north, but I moved down here and stayed.
Yeah.
So and when I went to parades as a child, they were the most boring thing ever. You just wave. People just
wave
at you. And you sit there and everyone waves. And when I came down here and went to my first parade, I understood what a parade should be. So I'm glad at least there'll be that while it will be a walking parade, at least people will be able to catch some red, white, and blue and other stuff. So.
Exactly. And we're too smart to just think we could just get by a parade and just wave. So there will be things that people can catch because I think we know people would be upset at us with that. But the victory bells will be at 5 o'clock in front of Gretna City Hall. And then we go back down. Yeah, there really are. And then we go back down to the River Bachelor for 6 o'clock for a bag of donuts. And then at 8:30, we're really excited. Entergy is sponsoring a drone show for us over the Mississippi River. And I think that's going to be a lot of people, including my first time seeing a live drone show. So we're looking forward to that. And I have to give kudos to so many people who have helped us. But look, we started this thing a couple years ago just saying, hey, let's have a parade. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And, you know, Jefferson Community Foundation got some sponsors for us. And just people want to be a part of it. Gretna, a lot of Gretna businesses and a lot of restaurants are excited for it. So this is a different kind of old-time America, red, white, and blue, that we don't normally have in this region. So I think it'll be fun. The German Beer Garden is going to be open. St. Joseph's Church is going to be open. The trolley is going to be up and down the street because it is kind of a big footprint. But I encourage everybody to go to jeffparish.gov / America250 to look at the map and look at the timing of things because it's a long day. And if you can't be out there all day with us, you're going to want to know when you want to come out to Old Gretna.
This drone show, you know, I've not seen a drone show over the Mississippi River. I've seen fireworks many times, but I don't know if there has been one. I've not seen one. So I'm excited that you're bringing that new kind of very popular, and people love these drone shows, display over the river to celebrate America's 250th birthday.
Me too. And I don't think we've had one. We think this is the first one. Like, nobody thinks we've had one before. So we had to get all kind of permissions to do it. I'm looking forward to that too. I think it'll be, and we just need the weather to cooperate with us. It'll be a typical, you know, day where it might have some showers, but that's okay. We're used to that and it'll cool us down, but we're going to be out there all day starting at noon and going until the drone show at 8:30.
You know how many drones are involved? Because they have lights on them and they change color. I think the first time I ever saw them was at an Olympics ceremony on TV. And so this is neat.
I want to say somebody said 200.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That is really cool.
It'll be fun.
All right.
Yes.
All right. And then the celebration will take a pause and pick up again for the Uncle Sam Jam on the eve of America's 250th birthday, right?
Exactly. This is our 31st year, Uncle Sam Jam, July 3rd at 3 p.m. Councilwoman Arita Bohannon has been very involved in that. That's her district. We're working with our team from Lafreniere Park. They announced it's going to be Wilson Phillips and John Waite and Bird, which is some college students locally that do covers, and DJ Slim McGraw. And that starts that Friday, July 3rd at 3 p.m. And then the fireworks start at 9 p.m. But this is a family favorite. This is a Jefferson Parish staple, having Uncle Sam Jam at Lafreniere Park. So visit jeffersonparish.com. You can get more information on that event.
Yeah. All right. A whole lot going on to celebrate America 250.
Lots of things to do to celebrate. Yes, Dave. Yes.
Overall, how are things going in Jefferson Parish? We had our economic development show earlier this week, and Michael Hecht brought up the fact that there have only been, and it's four too many, but four murders all year in Jefferson Parish. And that, I pulled up the crime statistics, and crime is unbelievably low right now across the board in Jefferson Parish. That's just one indication of a quality of life issue. How do you feel overall things are going in the parish right now?
I feel great about things. I just came back from a legislative breakfast that the chamber hosted, and GNO Inc. speakers were there, and they were talking about, you know, the $120 billion investment throughout the state. We're attracting a lot of big businesses. And look, we've had a lot of emergencies, you know, in the past couple of years, but just to have a couple of years where we're able to really shine and really the strength of our economy is there. Of course, you know, we on the government side, our work is to do strong public works and lay the foundation for everything else that needs to be able to happen. And I've really put that as the top of my of our agenda. Is it's boring to talk about, but it's having a strong water and sewer program. These are things that take decades, absolute decades, to build upon. You can't kick it down the road, right? And people don't like it, but we've got to make the investment in that. And so we're bringing a modern water and sewer system. We got road works going on. So a lot of public works projects is what I concentrate on to lay the fertile ground for business to do what they do best, you know, business development and to hold stable property values. Because if you don't have a strong public works and you don't have a strong safety, right, and a sheriff's office, it's really hard. You're kind of starting from the back foot a little bit. So we have a really strong sheriff, obviously. When I see him speak at civic associations, he's always bringing up statistics about how the crime stats are lowered. I think people feel very safe. I think they get on it real quickly. If you have an incident, they obviously have a very quick response and they solve a lot of crime. So he holds that standard for a way of behavior in Jefferson Parish, and I think we're all benefiting from it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think when the news coming out of your parish is boring, that's a really good thing. I mean, when you're talking
that's what I say. It's like we got over $1 billion in water projects, $1 billion in sewer projects. I can see people's eyes glaze over how boring it is. But if you don't have it, it's critical, and it is a loss of your property value, and it is. And these are, again, long-term investments. 20 years from now, you will be doing projects that we started, you know, that we voted on, the council voted on in 2021. We held it for 20 years of projects going forward. And, you know, people don't like paying their bill, but this is the investment we have to have in our community, because if you don't and people keep kicking it down the road, you really end up having ridiculous amounts of cost to try to get yourself out of. And this is what we do in government, right? We're roads and bridges and water and drainage and sewer and these kind of things, libraries and recreation. And sometimes they are boring, but if you have the absence of them, it's absolutely critical and you know, not healthy and almost dangerous situation. So like I said, it's sometimes a boring conversation, but it's very, very important conversations to have.
And it works, because Jefferson Parish is the most fertile in the state of Louisiana, generates more economic development and more revenue than any other. So
we
obviously
do.
It's working.
We do. And we're the most diverse as well. So we have some good statistics for Jefferson Parish, but we do. We put more into the state coffers than any other parish. So we're a very strong economy. We want to stay that way and do our part in government by giving you strong public works. So absolutely.
You mentioned, and I want to do this very quickly, water bills. Some people have been concerned about their utility bills from the parish. Some think they're going, we know they were supposed to go up because that's part of the investment you just talked about, but some people feel like they've gone up more than they were supposed to. If they're concerned about their bills, what should they do?
So here's the thing. They go up every year, so it's not uncommon that this part of the year we kind of get more complaints, because we do raise it every year. And again, this is part of bringing you a modern sewer and water system over the next 20 years. But if your bill is ridiculously high, you know, like a $4,000 bill, you have a water leak on your side of the property. I mean, come to us. We'll make sure the meter's working. But, you know, we just, half of the parish has a new modern state-of-the-art new water meter. We're very confident in that. Not to say that 100% always works, but we're very confident in that. But more than likely, you have a leak in your house that you don't know about, and it might not have evidence of. I had two leaks in my house this year, my toilet, and I had a leak from a pipe under my house that was not pooling water outside of my house. So I am the example of, the toilet was quiet. It was not making any noise. I had two leaks in my house that gave me no sign that I was leaking water. But the only reason I knew it was because I had this new water meter, and I could see hour by hour when nothing was on, I was using water. So it's very critical. If you have an outrageous bill, that you reach out to us. Of course, if you have a leak, we're going to forgive a good portion, give you time to go get a plumber and get it fixed. But overwhelmingly, the calls for high water bills is because people have a leak in their house that they don't know about it. And obviously, we're public. We can't go do that repair for you. This is your house. You know, we're not allowed to go make that repair for you, but that is just like you have to put a roof on. We're an old parish. We have old pipes in all of our homes, and this is overwhelmingly what we're seeing for a very high water bill is you have a leak in your house. But overall, we did increase the rates, but that should not give you a $1,000 water bill, something outrageous. So make sure you call your plumber if you have that. Call us to help you, and we will tell you it's probably a leak in your house and you need to call your plumber.
All right. And you will check those meters, make sure they're working properly, and make sure
absolutely.
That we get these.
And the new meters are going to be, you'll see, hour by hour, you can see your water usage. But we still have half the parish that is under the old meters. We're getting there. It's 160,000 meters in the parish. We're about halfway through. And you'll have an app, and you can see. And even the app will alert you that your water usage is very high and you might have a leak. So you just got to use that app, pay attention to it, set it so it alerts you. But it's a state of the art kind of meter right now. But we're halfway through.
In addition, one non-boring issue right there. All right.
I know. Yes, exactly.
Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Shank, thank you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the celebration Sunday in Gretna, and can't wait for that drone show and everything that leads up to it. Thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Thank you for having me, Dave. Thank you.
All right. Cynthia Lee Shank here on WWL. All right, your calls, your texts at 504-260-1870 coming up next. Why, as we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, just so happy about the success of this experiment that we started in the new world, are so few people participating in our democratic process? Less than 20% of eligible Louisiana voters are expected to cast ballots in the election, with early voting starting today. Why? We'll talk about it after this. I'm Dave Cohen on WWL. Lack of faith in candidates. That's what one person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talkin' text line at 504-260-1870. I asked, as we're celebrating 250 years of the American experiment, why is voter turnout so low? We just heard from Louisiana Secretary of State Nancy Landry that registered voter turnout is supposed to be somewhere between 20 and 23% in the election that early voting starts for today. And that means if you look at all of the eligible voters in the state, less than one in four, actually less than one in five, are going to participate in this election. And this election really is the one that's going to determine who's going to be the next U.S. senator from Louisiana. But less than one in five people who could vote will help figure that out. Another person texts us and says, voting is the people pulling the wool over their own eyes. None of the officials have the best interest of us in mind. Somebody else says, free and fair elections are a thing of the past. Our forefathers, I think, would be so disappointed to see how this has turned out 250 years later, with people feeling like their votes don't matter, their votes don't count, that the people that we're electing have no interest in serving us. They're only serving themselves. This is what people are telling us. You're hearing it, folks. Somebody else says, many people feel their votes won't make a difference, and others are just flat out lazy. They see going to vote as an inconvenience. And you know what's really troubling about this is talk radio listeners have some of the highest voter participation of any demographic. So the people who are listening right now are telling us this, that we're not even hearing from the people who care so little that they don't engage in programs like this one, that they don't stay informed and up to date and want to know what the issues and what's going on. They don't care. So, yeah, there's crazy apathy, and I'm not shaming anybody. I think that we are at a point in our development as a nation that is a pretty sad chapter, where we have extreme views on one side and extreme views on the other side that dominate the political conversation. And we have candidates who are extremely to the right and extremely to the left that get the financing to actually run the campaigns, because that's the people with the money get to pick the candidates. And we have such a divisive, angry, mean political rhetoric in this era. So I'm not surprised people are turned off by it. I'm not surprised people don't want to have anything to do with it. because it does have a high ick factor now. I just think it's sad, and I think it's unfortunate. And I think we got to find a way that people want to be a part of electing officials again, that they want to use their voices again, and that we do feel like we're electing people that we can trust and that we want in office and that do have our best interest in mind. We're back after this. A lot of people are texting and blaming the closed party primaries for people not participating in this election. I think that is a factor. I think the architects of the closed primary did that on purpose. They want fewer people to vote. They want their core constituents to be the only ones going to the polls. They want the people way to the right to be the ones mostly going to the polls. So that was part of their plan. That having been said, it's also true that before we went to these closed primaries, voter turnout was extremely low. And it's been extremely low for a while now. And this ugly chapter and era in American politics has just been intensifying, and it is turning a lot of people off. And that is really, really sad. We can talk about this some more coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Next hour, we've got the author of a book who dove into why Americans have not been attracted to soccer the way others, where they call it football, across the globe have. I mean, they dedicated their lives to being fans of this sport. Why is it that Americans are not as enthusiastic, not even close, as fans of soccer around the world? We'll talk about it here on the day that the Americans begin their play in the World Cup. How many people do you know that are really into soccer? If you are, tell us why. If you're not, why not? That's up next.